that for me today, or yesterday. So, I have a sermon right now designed for C&Es. Don't have too many C&Es today. We're starting to get to the point where people don't even see the need to come to church on Christmas and Easter. That's how apostate this country is being. So, this sermon is designed for those type of people. It's not bad every now and then, especially on a Christmas day, to look exactly why Christ came, the purpose of Christ coming, the reason he had to come, that when the C&Es, the former C&Es and now ignore us, come and ask questions, we'll have an answer for them. And it's given in the scripture of why he came, what he came for, and why he had to come. And we do celebrate the birth of Christ today. It's the very Son of God given to man to redeem a sinful man back to a holy God. God revealed himself, walking with a sinful man, revealing himself to sinful man, taking sinful man's penalty, that sinful man could then be a son of the most holy high God. He lived a perfect sinless life. He could take my wages because of it, because he had earned none of his own. I've earned my wages. We'll go to that in a second. But why was this necessary? Did he really need to have his birth? Did he really need to die for us? Those are questions that I've heard out there. And they're not unreasonable questions when we look at the sovereignty of God, and we need to use his word to fully understand the import of his coming, the import of his death, the reason his death was needed. And the answer is given in the very first book of the Bible. God created Adam and Eve with no sin nature, with no sin. As such, God could walk with them. As such, they could appear in front of a holy God. They received from God, loved God, worshiped God, and could talk to him face to face as a heavenly father. Satan gave them the opportunity to have more. You ever watch those Geico commercials? I got more. That's what Satan offered them. Satan offered them more. They had the opportunity, according to Satan, to be equal with God, understanding evil from good. And what happened? They rebelled. When they rebelled, they found out that Satan told a half-truth, which was an ultimate lie. Yes, they now understood good from evil, and they understood the evil they had done. And from then on, we all choose evil because we want to satisfy the flesh. Look at the aftermath of this very, very poor choice. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 8, read the rest of the chapter. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for thus thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the tree, to keep the way of the tree of life. Once Adam and Eve were evicted from the garden, we see this eviction. Now, they've been evicted. He walked with God. Never again do you read of man walking with God after this time. Man was designed to walk with God, to worship God, to fellowship with God. Man rebelled against that, turned his back, and therefore God had to rebel him from his presence. He took him from the garden. Now, did God deal with man? Yes. Adam and Eve were accepted because they repented. But they could still speak with him. They could receive from him. They could be protected by God. But never again the close physical walk they enjoyed. Praise God. That story does not end here. Now, we see our past. Because of Christmas, we can look at our future. Because of Christmas, we understand there is more to this story. We are not exiled forevermore against God's presence. God has made a way to return sinful man to holy God. Praise God for it. That is why he became a child, so that he could live my life, only do it so sinlessly. He could take my sins. He committed none. He could put them on the cross and make it so that because I gave him my sins, he could give me his righteousness. He had to be a man. God cannot take man's penalty. Man had to take man's penalty. So God became man to walk with man, to take man's penalty. God didn't design death. Our sin caused that. We were made once again to eternally worship and fellowship with him, dwelling with him in pure joy. God made man to live in purity, with the ability to be pure. With our fallen nature now, that's impossible. With our fallen nature, we can't be in front of a pure and holy God. But in the future, that curse will be reversed. Sin will be banished as his people are purified. God will then again walk with man as God. And he will be our God, and we will be his people forevermore. We looked in the Sunday school of Revelation 21, starting at verse 8 and on. We looked at this last week in the first part. Let's look at our future. Turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. Covering the whole present and past and future of Christianity here today. So Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, looking at our future. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you did not leave us in our fallen state. When we rebelled, Lord, you had the right to destroy us for rebelling against the love of a creator, for being a poor vessel that needed to be destroyed and rebuilt into something more. But you didn't want us to be there, Lord. You loved us so much to make it so that we could return to the way that you designed us, to be one, to walk with a holy God, to fellowship with a holy God, to worship a holy God. And Lord, that could only be done through your Son. And Lord, we celebrate the fact that you sent your Son to reveal God to man, to walk with man as God and as man both, and then to take man's penalty that we could then walk with God. And Lord, we're so thankful for this. We're so thankful for everything you've done for us. Let us learn from your word of what we should do with it. Let us learn from your word how we should react. And let us learn from your word just the love of God sent to us that we can respond to it and accept your free gift and be forevermore with God because of this Christmas day. We ask in your precious son's dear name. Amen. Now, we see man at creation in the Garden of Eden freely walking with God constantly. They had no sin nature. They could appear in front of a holy God. We see man walking with God in heaven for all eternity. But in the meantime, we have a problem. In the meantime, between those two great events, we have sin. With sin, we cannot walk with God. Yes, he indwells me, but I can't walk with him in his Shekinah glory because I would be destroyed. He cannot deal with that sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Falling short of his glory, we can't stand in his glory. Rebelling against the holy God, unable to return to his presence in the garden, our sins doom us as we follow Satan to the hell reserved to him and his angels who rebelled against God in the first place. Our robes are spotted with sin. Robes spotted cannot be in the holy presence of a holy God. We see we've sinned. Well, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Well, the wages of sin is death is pretty clear. You know, most of us here have had a job. I've earned my wages. My boss will pay me. If he's not, he's not a righteous boss, and he will be punished for it. Our God is a righteous God. When I've earned those wages, he must pay them. He has no choice as a righteous God. Now, if I've earned a penny or I've earned $1 million, I've earned the same death. Temperature might be a little bit different. But the death is still the same. I've earned that death. And Revelation says that's the second death, which is the lake of fire, which everyone who rebels against will be cast into. Now, this is an eternity away from God, where Jesus says three times in Mark 9, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. That is what our rebellion has bought us. That is what our rebellion has taken us away from. God cannot deal with sin, and sin has to be dealt with. His wages must be paid. We celebrate the birth of Christ because God showed his love for us by sending his son to us, making it so his wages could be taken by someone else, making so his wages that must be paid, would be paid, but would not be on my account anymore. We were made to be sons of God. We removed ourselves from his presence by sin, but he desired to be with us just as he designed. As such, He made a way to return us to that holy God. He made a way to make it so that I could stand in front of a holy God and not be destroyed, but be accepted as a son of God, as a joint heir of his dear son. Since no man could approach God in his sin, God sent his son, born of a virgin, sent to reveal God to man and reconcile man to God. He became a son of man so he could take man's penalty and allow man to be adopted as sons of God. By faith in the shed blood of that holy God. No? My wages are paid. My wages were paid. They had to be. Righteous God had to pay them. He paid them. I gave them to Jesus Christ on the cross, and he was able to accept them. He was willing to accept them. And when he accepted them by me giving them to him, he then gave me his righteousness. Now, our Lord and Savior, you have to understand what he did. You have to understand when you read about our Lord and Savior, now, we looked at Revelation 21 today, our future home in heaven. Glory beyond our comprehension. Glory beyond anything we can possibly imagine. Glory just John, looking at it, couldn't fully understand. Looking at this, realizing that kind of glory, realizing Jesus Christ is the one who created that, realizing he has 10,000 times 10,000 angels falling in worship to him constantly as being worthy of receiving that worship. Receiving all this, he came to be a man, not only a man. He came to be probably the poorest man in Judah. He came to be born in a manger. He came to condescend to our low estate in humility to draw us back to a holy God. Now let's look at his humility. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, the Christmas story. You need to realize exactly what he condescended to and what he sacrificed for us. So Luke chapter 2, reading in verse 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This is a glorious birth. This is a humble birth. God showing his willingness to condescend to our incredibly low estate, to draw us back to him, draw us back to his glory. We read of our glorious future in Revelation chapter 21. We see what he came from to call us to that future. We see the love of God to do that for us. God coming to save common man who would follow him. Notice he didn't come to the palace. The palace wouldn't put up with him. He came to the shepherds, probably the lowest caste of people there. They wouldn't come to the temple. They smelled of sheep, things like that. But they were the ones that had no problem coming to see the newborn king born in a manger. People in the palace wouldn't put up with that. But he came to reveal God to man. He showed his proof, and the people that would hear did hear. The people that would hear will be called back to him. The people that would hear will be with him forevermore. This great only begotten Son of the Most High God condescended to become the Son of Man, that those accepting his free gift could be, once again, the adopted sons of God, planned by an eternal God from the very beginning. A glorious birth, ignored and mocked by a sinful world. And we see the truth that we read later, all the way back in Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 to 6 real quick. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise God. My iniquity is laid upon him. Your iniquity is laid upon him. He was willing to do this. He was willing not only to leave the glory of heaven to live with sinful man, he was willing to take the penalty of sinful man. He was willing to let me spit upon him as man, that I may then by his stripes be healed by him. That is the love he showed us. That's important of why we understand the importance of the birth of Christ. Nowhere in Scripture are we called to mark the birth of Christ. In fact, he was born December 25th, right? No, we know he was not. We don't know exactly when he was born. Some people say April, some people say August. Well, we don't know because it wasn't that important to mark that day. It's his death that's important to mark. So nowhere in Scripture are we called to mark the birth of Christ. But without his birth, the death, burial, and resurrection, allowing us to walk with God forevermore, would not be possible. We would be eternally banished to hell without the birth of Christ. Following the devil, who rebelled with us, reserved for him and his demons. Without his birth, heaven would be an empty place, as none of us would be fit to go there. Why is this horrible death of Christ needed to allow us to be adopted sons of God? Question I get asked every now and then. We have a holy God. We have an all-powerful God. We have a sovereign God. Couldn't God just pardon it out? Couldn't God just say, okay, I've forgiven your sins. Yes, you accept my son. That's fine. Well, we've gone over that a little bit. We'll go over a little bit more. I mean, question I do get asked. Why did Jesus Christ have to die? Don't you have an all-powerful God? He is all-powerful. He is also righteous. A righteous judge and a God who cannot lie, but has to follow his own eternal word. So let's look at the famous Romans Road to realize why he had to be born and why he had to die to take away our penalties. So, first of all, Romans 3:10. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, that includes me. And that includes every single one of you out there. Okay, so once again. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I agree I'm a sinner. I agree with God. So why didn't God just forgive me my sins, call the account even, and I'll go home with him? What's wrong with that? Romans 6:23 Alpha. For the wages of sin is death. And once again, that's the lake of fire that Revelation 20:14 calls the second death, after you are judged and thrown in for all eternity. We earn our wages, quite often working overtime. If you work for a righteous boss, he will pay your wages. Our God is a righteous God. Every one of us has earned our wages. Our righteous God must pay those wages. He has no choice because we read the wages of sin is death, and that's for all eternity. Do I understand that? No, I don't understand that. Don't care. I know God does, and I serve God. He doesn't serve me. I serve him. So serving him, I need to follow into his economy. And our righteous judge will give us exactly the hell that our wages deserve. If I've earned a dollar, I get a dollar's worth of penalty, get a dollar's worth of heat. If I've earned $1 million, I get $1 million worth of heat. But the heat will still be there. Praise God, a man was found to receive man's wages. Romans 5:8. But God commanded his love toward us, and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of man's sin is man's death. He who had no sin tasted death for all men. He received the cost of those wages on his body. He received death and went to preach to the souls in hell for 3 days. When he said, "It is finished," the infinite God and fully man received every single wage that man would ever receive, from Adam's first sin to the last person before eternity. All those are on the cross. If you accept it, you give up the right to those wages. You give them him. I have no right to those wages anymore. I don't want the benefit, quote unquote, benefit of sin anymore. I don't want the pleasures of sin for a season anymore. I understand death that those are given me. And you give them to Jesus Christ on the cross, he accepts them. Those wages are then removed from you, and he gives you his righteousness, in which case you can then stand in front of that holy God. That's what Romans 6:23 Bravo says. Remember 6:23 Alpha, for the wages of sin is death. Bravo, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ your Lord. Accepting his free gift, you give up your right to those wages of sin, you repent of them, and you give it to him, and he gives you that righteousness with the victory over that sin. And once again, at that point, you will be able to walk in front of a holy God when he cleanses you fully of all the sin that you have, and you can then be in that heaven that we've talked about in Revelation chapter 21. He is no longer your righteous judge. He's your heavenly Father. Jail ministry understands that very well. You know, they're all there. Why are they there? Because the judge gave them a penalty. So a righteous judge, that's all he can do. Okay, Tom, what have you done? Okay, you've done this. Yep, that's 3 years. That's all a righteous judge can do. Looks at the crime, looks at the penalty, and gives it to you. But once you accept that, he is no longer your righteous judge. He is now your heavenly Father. What does the heavenly Father do? He chastises you, make you better later. Then the punishment and the crime is forgotten. Wiped clean because you've learned your lesson. So you want him as a heavenly Father, not as a righteous judge. But how do you receive this? We see the benefits. We see the cost. Okay, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I know that. I see that he died for me. I see that his gift is to make it so I don't have to do it anymore. Show of hands, how many want people to go to hell? Okay, we've seen exactly how to avoid it. How do you get a hold of that? Well, Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that's the death that he died for your sins. And oh, by the way, if you raise him from the dead, he had to die, right? Then thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The birth of Christ has made all this possible. It has revealed God to man. It has allowed a man to live a perfect, sinless life, relying on God, and yet take a penalty that he did not deserve. His stripes were given to him to make it so I could be healed. And then with that, we can honor him forevermore. Again accepted by an eternal, immortal, sovereign, holy God, being once again able to walk with him as God designed for all eternity, making us adopted sons of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:12-17 calls us sons of God, joint heirs. As we suffered with him, we may be glorified with him for all eternity. I can't imagine being glorified with Jesus Christ. I can't imagine when they give the explanation of what Jesus Christ looks like when they saw him, when they see the glory, when they see all the angels following him. I'm going to be glorified with him? I don't understand it, but I don't want to miss it either. I'll figure out what it means when I get there. So, with such glory given to us, such eternal joy given to us, especially eternally living with a God because he condescended to our low estate so we could be drawn to his cross, accepting the blood shed for our penalties, purchasing those wages of sin. We are bought with the price. We are bought with the price of our sins. We are bought with the price of our wages of sin. Should we not recognize his birth as the most wonderful birth of all eternity? Should we not recognize his birth as God revealing himself to man and praising him forevermore for it? Now, it makes no sense to pay so much attention to his birth if we don't understand why he came. The only begotten Son of God, becoming man to take man's penalty, allowing sinful man to be cleansed, forgiven, and adopted as a son of God. The light of the world came to draw all men to his cross and to his salvation. Come to that light. If you come to that light, you are a son of God. If you come to the light, you are a joint heir of Jesus Christ. If you come to that light, read Revelation 21 today and realize what your eternal future is. Do not be like those who mock Christ so much that they even refuse to say Merry Christmas. They will have their eternity also. There will be no light. It is an amazing thing. Again, I can't comprehend it. It's a fire that's not quenched that gives no light. All it gives is heat, and all it gives is misery. Turn to the consequences. Everyone knows John 3:16, but turn to John 3:18 through 21. Talking about the love of God, they talk about John 3:16, so he's going to save everybody. They miss the rest of this chapter. In John 3:18 through 21, we read this. He that believeth on him is not condemned, praise God, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Praise God, my deeds are made manifest. Praise God, I saw the sinner that I was. Praise God, that he showed me how I cannot stand in front of a holy God because of my sin. And praise God, he showed me how to get those sins wiped clean. And it's true for everyone here who's saved. And if you're not saved, it's true if you accept that free gift. Hebrews 10:31 says this, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know, those who have a criminal past know that it's a fearful thing to get caught in the hands of the cops, right? If you're living apart from God, if you're a sinner, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of that living God, because he will judge you for those sins and he will judge you righteously. There is no plea bargain. Once you are there, if you've not accepted that free gift, you will get the penalty you deserve, period. And yet the angel said, fear not, three times in the birth of Christ. We need to come to the Christ child who came as a savior of the world, that we can be that we can have our sins banished and live with him in peace forevermore. Do not fall into the hands of the living God, who will judge the quick and the dead, and send all those who prefer darkness to the hell that they have chosen to rebel against God. He came as a savior. He came meek and lowly as a lamb. He came as the Christ child born in the manger to take your penalty. He's returning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will call his subjects to him and will banish those who rebelled against him forevermore. So let us celebrate the Christ child born over 2,000 years ago. Let us come to his light to proclaim his glory. Let us give him our wages and serve him with his righteousness that he gives us. Let us be thankfully condescended to our low estate, that we can live with him forever. And let us be faithful and come to him every single day of the year. With that, let's turn to hymn number 85 and sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Go to prayer. Look at that first verse again. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. We come to Christmas morning celebrating him, joyful and triumphant. Joyful that he is triumphant over death. Joyful that by his sacrifice we are made his joint heirs. We give the gifts to each other. Remember the gift he gave us. Put the focus where it belongs. We don't celebrate Christmas to make sure the economy does well. We don't celebrate Christmas to make sure the stock market goes up. That's what the businessmen do. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus Christ condescended to our low estate to take away our sins, that we could be his joint heir and live with him forevermore. Keep that focus tomorrow and think, what can you give to Jesus Christ this year to serve him all that much better as a gift to him? We're supposed to be a living sacrifice to him. No? That means giving yourself to him as a gift. Let him use you as he sees fit. And once again, look at the future. Read Revelation 21 again today. And look at your future. And realize he's asking absolutely nothing of you compared to the glory that he's going to give you. So, as we go to prayer, focus on that. Remember the Jesus Christ who came to die for you. Remember that as tomorrow. Christmas is to celebrate that. And to have the joy of knowing that the people with you, you'll be with forevermore if they're saved. If you've never accepted that free gift, please talk to me before I leave. I'll show you exactly how it is. It's all Romans Road. I'll just explain it to you. It's all it is. Salvation is extremely simple. And then we spend the rest of our lives learning how to be members of his family, learning how to walk with him forevermore. We have not been able to walk with God. We will in the future because he came to walk with us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. After Rich plays the verse, I'll close this. Now, then, Father, we're so thankful for the fact that you loved us so much as to send your Son to take my wages, not only mine, but the wages of the entire world, that anybody who will accept that free gift will have their accounts cleaned, accounts cleansed perfectly, that sin will be removed completely, and we can walk with a holy God forevermore as you intended. And Lord, without that free gift, we would be destined for the hell that we chose when we rebelled against God by following Satan. And Lord, as we get ready to celebrate your birth tomorrow, let us be joyful. Let us be triumphant. It's not our triumph, Lord. You have defeated death, which is the last enemy. You have defeated death by dying our death, by taking our stripes, allowing us to be healed, that we may serve you forevermore in a heaven that you designed for us, in the mansion that you are building for us. And Lord, let us focus on that. Let us have joy. Let us remember the reason for the season is the fact that you did condescend to our low estate. And by becoming a low son of man, we could become most high adopted sons of God. And Lord, that is beyond our comprehension for the glory shown us. That is beyond our comprehension for the love shown us. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And let us grow in that love, Lord, serving you more and more each and every day. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.